Welcome to a new deep dive from AI Unraveled. This is the podcast created by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer and, yes, a passionate soccer dad up in Canada.
Great to be back.
If you're enjoying what we do here, please take just a second to like and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts. It really helps.
It does.
And, you know, if you're thinking about boosting your own productivity with AI, check the show notes. We've got a referral link and a discount code for Google Workspace.
Yeah, that gets you access to some great tools, Gemini PRO, Notebook Wellum, Teams, really useful stuff.
Definitely. Oh, and one more thing, if you're tackling those tough tech certifications, Etienne's AI-powered Jamget Tech app is worth a look. It's designed specifically for acing 50-plus of those PBQ and simulation-type certs.
Good shout. Okay, so today we're looking at a whole bunch of recent AI news. It's moving so fast.
It really is.
Our mission, basically, is to sift through these headlines, figure out the key shifts, you know, from big company strategies like OpenAI to things like AI in schools and, well, new tools becoming available.
Right. Trying to get a clearer picture of what it all actually means.
Exactly. Let's unpack it.
Okay, so starting at the top then, OpenAI. Big structural moves happening there. It sounded like they were maybe going fully for-profit, but changed their minds.
That's right. Yeah, the reports were suggesting a full for-profit switch was seriously considered. But ultimately, no. They've decided to keep the nonprofit parent company in control of the governance.
But the part that actually does things, the operational arm.
That part is changing. It's becoming a public benefit corporation, a PBC.
PBC. Okay, we've heard that term before, like with Anthropic, right? So why stick with the nonprofit oversight? You'd think the sheer cost of AI development would push them towards pure profit.
Well, it seems like a few things were going on. Definitely public feedback, some internal concerns too, probably. And they apparently had discussions with, you know, legal folks, authorities, all trying to make sure the structure lines up with their original mission, the whole benefit humanity thing. Sam Altman, the CEO, actually mentioned getting input from civic leaders and legal experts.
Interesting. And this probably helps with the whole Elon Musk situation too, right? Lawsuit concerns?
It certainly addresses some of those concerns, yeah. This hybrid model, it's an attempt to, like, balance things, get the huge investment they need for R&D. Altman talked about needing trillions.
Trillions, wow.
Yeah, trillions to get to beneficial AGI, but at the same time, keep that commitment to safety and public good through the nonprofit control. It's maybe a new way forward for these kinds of massive AI projects.
Acknowledging the kind of dual responsibility, innovation, and ethics.
Precisely. It can even, you know, influence other big tech players.
Okay, trillions. That's a number.
Yeah.
And speaking of big numbers, there's also talk about a huge acquisition by OpenAI. Windsurf used to be Codeium.
Yeah, the word is they've acquired Windsurf for somewhere around $3 billion.
$3 billion. That's got to be their biggest yet.
By far, yeah. And Windsurf, their whole thing is AI tools for coding, helping developers write code, manage it, essentially AI that gets coding.
So this is all about boosting ChatGPT's coding skills then, making it a better coder itself.
Exactly. You integrate Windsurf's tech and suddenly ChatGPT gets, well, a lot smarter about programming. And you have to see it in context, right? The market for these AI coding assistants is heating up. You've got GitHub Copilot, Anthropic's Claude Code.
Right. Lots of competition.
So this move, it looks like OpenAI saying, okay, we want to own this space, embed these top-tier coding tools right in, could really speed things up for developers using their platform.
Definitely sounds like they're making a serious play there. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. The impact of AI on jobs. That memo from the Fiverr CEO, Micah Kaufman, that caused a stir.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was quite something, an internal memo, but he shared it publicly too, and it was incredibly blunt.
Yeah.
He basically warned his own staff, look, AI is a major threat to jobs, all sorts of jobs, everywhere, including, he said, his own job.
Wow. He really put it out there.
He did. He urged them, like, you have to get good with AI tools fast. Become exceptional talents was the phrase, I think. Or else.
Or else.
He said something like, those who don't adapt could be facing a career change in a matter of months. Pretty stark.
Oof. Yeah, that's direct. Huh. Did he call out specific jobs he thought were, like, most vulnerable?
He did mention programmers, designers, customer support, those kinds of roles. But his main point was broader. It's transforming everything.
Right.
He was really pushing his employees embrace the tools, learn new stuff, rethink what productivity even means now. So
Yeah.
things like, you know, just using search isn't enough anymore if you don't have prompt engineering skills. It just what hammers home how urgent this is for basically everyone in the workforce. Upskill, adapt now.
Yeah, it's not some future thing anymore, is it? It's happening. Okay, so looking ahead then, there's this big push for AI education much earlier, like K through 12.
Yes, that's a really significant push. You've got this coalition, over 250 CEOs signing an open letter, big names, Microsoft, loads of others.
250 CEOs. Wow. What are they asking for?
They're calling for computer science and AI to be mandatory parts of the K-12 curriculum, core subjects. Right across the U.S.
Mandatory, huh? What's the main driver behind that?
Well, the core idea is pretty simple. Get kids ready for the future workforce. Give them that basic AI literacy. And, you know, keep the U.S. competitive globally, especially thinking about nations like China.
Ah, the competitiveness angle.
Yeah. They want students to be AI creators, not just users. And they pointed to some interesting research, too, apparently. Just one high school CS course can boost early wages by like 8%.
Yeah, 8%. Just from one course.
Across all sorts of careers, yeah. Whether they go to college or not shows how valuable those foundational skills are becoming.
That's actually really compelling. Who else signed this letter besides Microsoft?
Oh, a whole list. Yeah. CEOs from LinkedIn, Adobe, AMD, indeed, Khan Academy was on there, Airbnb, Dropbox, Zoom, Uber, lots of big tech players. It shows real consensus in the industry.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it fits with other moves, too. Remember President Trump's executive order setting up that White House task force for K-12 AI?
Right. I do remember that.
And internationally, the UAE just announced mandatory AI education for all K-12 students starting this year.
So it feels like a global trend.
Yeah.
AI literacy is becoming like the new reading and writing.
Pretty much. Yeah. Seems that way.
Okay. Let's talk tools. Canva. We know them for design, making things look pretty. Now they've got Canva Sheets, a spreadsheet.
Yeah, Canva Sheets. It's their new spreadsheet tool, but, you know, with Canva's twist, it's got AI built in, and it's part of their main visual suite.
So trying to make spreadsheets less spreadsheety, more visual.
Exactly. The whole point is to make managing data and especially visualizing data easier using their design strengths.
How does the AI part work?
Well, it helps with things like data entry, generating reports. They have these features called Magic Insights that's supposed to spot key patterns in your data automatically. And Magic Charts for making, you know, interactive, nice-looking charts easily. The idea is maybe to appeal to people who find Excel or Google Sheets a bit intimidating or who really care about how their data looks.
Right, like for presentations or reports where visuals matter a lot.
Exactly. The source we looked at even had guides for using things like Magic Fill to complete data patterns or asking Magic Insights questions about your data in plain English.
Could be really handy for folks who aren't like data wizards but still need to work with numbers. Okay, what about on the open source side? NVIDIA releasing Parakeet. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Parakeet. This is a big deal, actually. NVIDIA open sourced their speech recognition model, automatic speech recognition, ASR.
So turning spoken words into text.
Exactly. It's called Parakeet TDT 0.6BV2. It's a 600 million parameter model, and apparently it's really accurate for English transcription. It topped a Hugging Face benchmark for word error rate. Lower is better there.
Okay, so it's good at it. Is it fast?
Very fast, according to NVIDIA. They say it can transcribe an hour of audio in about a second on their GPUs.
Wow.
Okay.
And it has fancy features too, automatic punctuation, timestamps for each word, capitalization, even transcribing songs into lyrics.
Oh, song lyrics. Okay.
And get this, it apparently beat some of the big proprietary models like 11Labs Scribe and even OpenAI's Whisper on the Open ASR leaderboard.
Really? Better than Whisper in some tests. That's significant. And it's open source.
Fully open source, yeah. With a commercially permissive license, CCBY 4.0. That means developers, researchers, companies, they can all use it, build on it, even in commercial products.
That's huge. It basically gives everyone access to top-tier speech-to-text tech.
Pretty much. It could really boost innovation in anything, using voice, you know, voice assistants, transcription services, all sorts of things. A great contribution to the OpenAI community.
Definitely sounds like it. Okay, before we wrap up, there are a few other quick hits in the news pile from May 6th. Anything else stand out?
Yeah, a couple of quick ones. OpenAI's CPO, Kevin Weil, made an interesting comment, said their open model is based on democratic values, and they keep it like a generation behind their best stuff, partly so it doesn't help China accelerate their AI.
Interesting strategic thought there.
Also, AnySphere, that's the company behind the coding platform, Cursor, raised a massive $900 million, valuation near $9 billion now, shows just how hot that AI developer tool market is.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, and OpenAI was quite transparent about some recent issues with GPT-4o being overly agreeable or sycophantic. Mm-hmm. They detailed the problem and their plans for better testing and stricter standards.
Good to see them addressing that openly.
Anthropic launched an AI for Science program, giving free API credits to researchers in important fields like drug discovery and genomics.
Nice initiative.
And Pinterest rolled out some new AI visual search features. So yeah, lots happening across the board.
Wow. Okay, so it's just constant motion from high-level strategy at OpenAI to workforce warnings, the big push for education, and then these powerful tools, some open, some not.
Exactly. So summing up, we saw OpenAI trying to balance its mission and its massive funding needs. We heard that stark warning from Fiverr's CEO about adapting or, well, facing career changes. A huge push for mandatory AI education is gaining steam. And tools like Canva Sheets and NVIDIA's Open Parakeet show AI becoming more accessible and powerful.
It's a lot to take in. So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. As you hear about all these rapid changes, what skills or, I don't know, what areas of knowledge do you think are going to be absolutely essential to navigate this AI future?
Yeah, and maybe how can you start preparing now? It's also worth thinking about that tension, you know, between these huge centralized AI labs and the open source movement. What are the long-term implications there?
Definitely food for thought. Thanks for digging into all this with us today.